59. Nate sat in his cubicle and stared at his computer. There was an address form on the screen that had been there for half an hour. It corresponded to the pink return card on the top of his stack. He'd done 6 of the forms so far, 6 in 3.5 hours. It was below his cruising speed of 1 every 90 seconds, a lot lower than the mythical 1 every 15 seconds Eddie kept claiming he could do. I was in space yesterday, hanging by a doorknob in deep space. It occurred to him, for the third time today, that he should switch to returned magazines. More bulk meant he could wear away a larger part of the pile. Like the last 2 times it occurred to him, he glanced at the mail tote full of magazines and then back to the screen. The real question is, why isn't anyone protecting this thing? If this machine is the only thing between us and the end of the world, why isn't there a marine base built around the damned thing? Granted, the machine had stood in plain sight for over 100 years without being discovered, or at least without being reported. If anyone had found it, they'd kept very quiet about it. He drummed his fingers on the desk and looked down at the pink card. It was almost lunch. He stabbed at a few random keys without thinking. He'd typed space into the last field he'd been working on. There was a 50-50 chance Alan Space would either get a kick out of his new name or call to complain. If he called, he'd speak with Eddie, who would come talk to Nate. It was a safe bet Eddie's talk would take at least 5 times longer than the phone call. They have found us. Of course, someone had discovered the machine, or at least where it was hidden. They'd chased Kotorovich across the city back to Kavach, and he'd managed to keep it a secret even though they killed him. He tapped at the keys again and replaced space with Alan's real last name. A few more keystrokes and he'd updated the subscription information. 7 in just under 4 hours. He tossed the card in the trash and peeled another one off the rubber band wrapped stack. Something wasn't sitting right in his mind. He worked back through his thoughts and found himself at his mental picture of Kotorovich writing his final message in blood. There was a problem with that image. Something gnawed at him. It was just out of sight, right on the tip of his... Hey, Anne said. Did you want to do anything for lunch? Kotorovich disappeared in a puff of mental smoke. Nate looked up at her. He bit his lip and tried to make note of where his thoughts had fallen. Sorry, she said. Did I catch you in the middle of something? Yeah. Don't worry about it. So, she said. Lunch? I brought a sandwich, he said. We could just do cheap pizza downstairs. Then I just wasted a sandwich. I could get cheap pizza and you could watch me eat, he smiled. So you're offering to torture me? Hey, she grinned. Don't knock it till you've tried it. Thanks, but I think I'm still going to say no. Besides, working through lunch gives me a slim chance of getting caught up by the end of the month. Her dark eyes fixed on him. You know, the past couple weeks or so, you've been a lot more focused. Nate chuckled. Not according to Eddie. I didn't say focused on this. I just meant you've sort of... She tapped her fingertips on her lips. Do you mind if I say something a bit New Age sounding? Are you going to read my aura or something? She laughed and it turned into a snort. No, she said. You just seem like you finally found your purpose, you know? He looked at her and thought about Alexander Kotorovich dying to protect the machine he'd helped build. The machine Nate now lived inside of. He thought of Tim, Zila and Roger, Debbie and Clive. He thought about Mandy, too scared of the future to do anything. He thought about Mrs. Knight, floating through space until she fell into an alien sun. And he thought about Veek. I have, he said. I think I've figured out where my life is going. It's working for you, whatever it is, she said. Anyway, I'm dying for a break, and if you're not up for lunch, what if we just... Dying to protect the machine. Fuck, he said. Anne's brows went up. Not quite where I thought this little chat was heading, she said. Sorry, I've got to get out of here, Nate said. She smiled. It flitted across his mind that Anne had a spectacular smile. Not long ago, he would have been thrilled to be this close to it, let alone be the one causing it.
Fantastic, she said. Lunch it is, then.
No, he said, standing up. I mean, I have to get out of here. Nate grabbed his backpack. He snatched up a few things from the desk and stowed them. He patted himself down, located his keys, and made sure his phone was still on his hip. Eddie's voice sounded from the door.
Everyone off to lunch?
Anne bit back a groan, and it became a quick hiss in her nose. Nate had heard it before. He'd made the same noise at least a dozen times. The dreaded Eddie's inviting himself along groan often muted to an exhalation through the nostrils. Nate looked at his boss.
I need to leave, he said.
For lunch?
For the afternoon. Personal matter.
How much have you gotten done so far today?
It's a personal crisis, emphasized Nate.
Eddie looked at the stacks of mail totes and shook his head.
I don't know, Nate, he said.
It was the lecture tone tinged with a hint of good buddy tone.
You're really far behind right now, really far. I don't think you can afford to take an afternoon off and expect
I quit. The words leaped out of his mouth. For a brief moment, he thought it had been Anne or someone in the hall, but Anne was behind him and she'd made a little sound that was half shock and half excitement. Eddie blinked. His jowls flared pink and he blinked a few more times.
What?
I quit, repeated Nate. The phrase threw a weight from his shoulders and Eddie seemed to shrink as he said it. I don't have time for this. He turned back to the desk and grabbed the few personal things there, his spare phone charger, a battered paperback dictionary, some post-it notes on the monitor with important phone numbers he'd scribbled down.
Hold on, said Eddie. You can't quit.
No time. Without that weight, he felt strong. He stashed the item in his backpack, zipped it shut, and threw the strap over his shoulder. He locked eyes with Anne, halfway in her own cubicle. Her mouth moved silently. You rock. Eddie was still shrinking. His shoulders slumped and he looked a bit scared.
Let's take a minute and talk about this, he whined as Nate stepped past him.
There's nothing to talk about. He checked the hat rack to make sure there wasn't anything he'd forgotten. He found a battered gray baseball cap and decided to leave it. Nate turned to the big man. Goodbye, Eddie, he said. He held out his hand, and Eddie, flustered, shook it. Nate glanced past the big man. Bye, Anne. Say goodbye to Jimmy for me. She blew him a kiss.
See you around, Nate.
His former boss followed him into the hall.
You're not going to quit your job in this economy, are you?
I've got more important things to do,